Happy Easter, Calvary Raleigh Church. We're glad to see you out on this bright, gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous Sunday morning. Couldn't ask for any better weather. And I've loved seeing all of the beautiful spring colors. And then even those that wore the red today, I don't know what you're thinking, but good to see everybody in the house. If you're a Carolina fan, this is not our year, but we're still happy. Jesus is risen either way. If you are a Duke fan or an NC State fan, let's hear it this morning. I hear there's a game later on today, and I've been asked multiple times, Pastor, who are you pulling for now that your team is not in the tournament playing today? And I am going to be pulling for the red team. So no chance of converting me. But anyway, we're gonna pull for the local team here in Raleigh, and looking forward to a great day. You know what? What an awesome day! Happy Easter! We thank you for being here. Thank you for being here at worship today. And you know, last Sunday we celebrated Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry of Jesus. And we looked at the fact that our sin was the reason Jesus had to die. It was our sin that put him on the cross of Calvary. And this week, as we celebrated Holy Week and looked at the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross of Calvary, Friday evening we had the privilege of gathering for a reflection on the death of Jesus Christ and what that Good Friday was like and the sacrifice that he laid down his life on the cross of Calvary. We took the elements that represented the body and the blood of Jesus as he died on the cross. We saw the agony of the garden as Jesus went there with his disciples to pray, and they kept falling asleep, and yet Jesus was agonizing in pain as he was saying, "Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me." All the while understanding and knowing full well what his Father's plan was, and knowing that he is the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world. Judas would later betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, and ultimately we looked at Isaiah 53 as Jesus bore our sins on his body on the cross. And we concluded Friday evening by writing our name on a piece of paper and attaching it to the cross, knowing that this was my cross. This was my death. He took my shame, my sorrow, and he took the stripes that I should have bore and died on the cross. And considering the fact that Jesus died for my sins, this morning we celebrate a risen Savior. Easter is about the resurrection of Jesus, and otherwise known as Resurrection Sunday. And I'm here to tell you, church, he is alive. And let's pick up the story in Luke chapter 24. If you have your Bibles with you, otherwise it'll be on the screen. Luke chapter 24, we'll be looking at a lot of verses in this passage. But I believe it's powerful to see that Jesus conquered the grave. Do you believe that this morning? Jesus conquered the grave. Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 1, says, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. When they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. As they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but what, church? He is risen.'" All right, he is not here, but he is risen. "Remember how he told you how he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified on the third day, on the third day rise." They remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale. They did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looked in, and saw the linen clothes by themselves. He went home marveling at what had happened. Holy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts this morning? Father, if there's someone that's watching online, that's sitting in the room this morning, that has never made the gospel of Jesus Christ personal in their own life, Yeah, they may believe that there is a God, or they believe that Jesus died on the cross, but they've never accepted personally what the sacrifice of Christ accomplishes and how you offer us a right relationship with God the Father. Lord, I pray that even now you would speak to hearts in this room and those that are tuning in online, God, that they would understand that the gospel is personal. The gospel is real, and you desire to radically transform our hearts and lives. God, would you this morning be that moment of decision where they understand that the resurrection only means something if we receive it, if we accept what Jesus accomplished on the cross of Calvary. God, would you transform lives? And Lord, for those of us that know Christ as Lord and Savior, Lord, we rejoice today in knowing that your death, your burial, your resurrection makes possible that right relationship with God the Father. And Lord, when you look down, you don't see us in our sinful state, but you see us redeemed. You see us as forgiven. We see us as ransomed, God. And Lord, we're thankful for what you've accomplished through your resurrection. We give you all the honor, glory, and praise in Jesus' name. All of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. The resurrection of Jesus is the single greatest event in all of human history. In fact, if you look through all of the things that happened through the course of time, the greatest event that's ever taken place is the resurrection of Jesus. It's the central component of the gospel. And without it, there would be no hope for mankind. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17, if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. So if it wasn't for today, if it wasn't for Easter Sunday morning, we would have no hope in this life. We have no hope in the life to come because Jesus offers life. He offers us eternal life. And this morning we celebrate on Sunday because Jesus conquered the grave. We don't worship on Friday, although we had a Good Friday service and remembering, reflecting on the sacrifice of the cross. But ultimately, church, we serve and worship Jesus on Sunday because of the resurrection. We celebrate what Jesus did on that first day of the week. We see, first of all, the tomb was empty. Jesus conquered death. Jesus conquered death. Luke tells the woman that showed up at the tomb of Jesus to prepare the body of Jesus for burial. Matthew tells us they wondered how they would even get past the stone that had been rolled in front of the grave. But folks, their faith was so strong, their love for the Father was so strong that they went anyway, not knowing how they would get in, but they went, and their desire was to anoint the body and place those ointments upon the body of Jesus in the tomb. About that time, two men, the Word of God says, in dazzling apparel stood by them. I haven't seen too many men in the building today in dazzling apparel, but maybe there's some out there. Ivan, you look pretty dapper this morning in the pink jacket, but in dazzling apparel appeared to the women. And the Bible tells us that they were afraid. Verse 5 and 6 says, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen, and the story of Easter should not have shocked them, but here are the mother of Christ, Mary to Magdalene, several of these ladies that were the first to show up. And let's just be real, fellas. The ladies are always the first to respond. In fact, I guarantee you, across the room, if we said, how many have already prepared for Easter lunch across the building? I mean, it's like, hands down, the ladies, they take care of the job. They've gotten it done. And these were the very ones that were the first to the scene of the tomb on that Easter Sunday morning. Their faith was in Jesus. But the story of Jesus still shocked them. Somehow we try to make it more difficult than it really is. We want to believe that somehow we do something in order to be saved. In verse 10, we see the trio of Marys. Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, Joanna, other women. They ran to tell the disciples the good news. Jesus has risen from the grave. How did they respond? Somehow the ones that were closest to Jesus the ones that were sitting at his feet as he taught, as he performed miracles, as he raised the dead to life, those that had seen Lazarus come forth from the grave, those that had watched Jairus' daughter be raised from the grave, all of the miracles that they had witnessed, somehow when it came to Jesus rising from the grave, their minds were completely blown. They were in disbelief. They didn't believe it. They thought it was a fairy tale. Verse 12 tells us that Peter ran to the tomb. He stooped down and he looked inside and he saw the grave clothes. And my wife and I go up to the mountains a lot, and there's a church that I took our staff to a couple years ago. We were up there on a staff retreat, and it's called Mount Calvary Baptist Church. It's in Banner Elk, North Carolina. If you ever get a chance to go, stop. You don't have to have an invitation. Just go. It's open. But they have a giant tomb, and it's made out of massive boulders. And you can walk inside the tomb, and there's the grave clothes are laying there, and the cloth is all folded neatly, and it's just such a moving moment. And on top of the tomb is a hill like Calvary's Hill, and there's three crosses up there. And I thought, I'd never be able to be up there on an Easter Sunday, because pastors don't get off on Easter Sunday. But, you know, I was sitting there imagining what it would be like to sitting out there in an Easter sunrise service as the sun is coming up from the clouds, and seeing a gravestone that's rolled away, and seeing the empty tomb. What it must have been like as Peter gazed into the tomb and saw an empty grave. How did they respond? They thought it was a fairy tale. Peter, though, was amazed and marveled at what had happened. Peter saw firsthand the women, what they had told him. He saw that the tomb was empty. He saw Jesus conquered death. We see, second, the tomb was empty. Jesus fulfilled Bible prophecy. Beginning in verse 13, you see the very day two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other and all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing. They didn't understand. This person that's walking with you is Jesus. How many of us go through life and somehow we forget that God is with us? God is walking with us. He's going through the fire. He's going through the deep waters, through the trials that we're facing. But their eyes were kept from recognizing. He said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" As he stood still, looking sad, the one of them said, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" They said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered up to him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said." And they're confused. They're pouring out their hearts to Jesus, not knowing what was going on. "Some of those who were with us went to the tomb, and he said to them, 'O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' The beginning with Moses and the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." I love this passage because Luke, who is a physician, is outlining the basic tenets of the Christian faith. He's saying exactly what prophecy had foretold for hundreds of years is exactly what took place. Jesus had to rise from the grave. He will ascend into glory. And he wanted us to understand what was taking place was a fulfillment of hundreds of years of Bible prophecy. The news story was still developing. There were two disciples traveling on the road to Emmaus. They're talking about the news of the day. And earlier this past week, I remember, I think it was Tuesday, a bridge in Baltimore collapsed into the harbor, and it was crazy to watch. We have family that live in the, up there in the area. My sister drives across that bridge quite often, and I was sitting here thinking, imagine wondering, is my loved one safe? And you're thinking about all the things that happened. It was news in real time. We have Twitter, we have Facebook, we have Instagram, we have all of these ways of getting the up-to-date news, and everybody's on their phone, and you can imagine what was going on in Christ's day as people were checking their Twitter feed, and they were trying to figure out what is taking place. So Jesus is walking along by the disciples, and verse 16 says they weren't able to recognize him, but he jumped into the conversation. He says, "What are you talking about?" I love the sense of humor of our Savior, because he was going to have a little fun with this. I mean, you can just imagine what was going through his mind. And all of a sudden, a disciple we know very little about, Cleopas, finally gets recognized, and his name is printed in Scripture as an idiot. All right, verse 18, he says, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place on these days?" He asked Jesus, "Are you the only one that doesn't know about the crucifixion of Jesus?" I mean, imagine when the light turned on and he finally realized who he was talking to. He felt like, "I want to crawl under that podium right there. I want to hide." You know, you have those moments in life, you stick your foot in your mouth, you're trying to figure out how dumb you just looked when you fell, and you're looking around to see, did anybody fall? See me fall down the stairs and wipe out in front of God and everybody. But the reality is Cleopas was like, "Are you the only one that doesn't know what happened?" And I love Jesus, how he responds. He says, "What things are you talking about?" Like, what exactly are you talking about? And it goes back to verse 17. It says, they were discouraged. They were trying to figure out and make sense of all that had just taken place. The tomb was empty. Jesus had just fulfilled Bible prophecy. Verse 26 says, he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" He went on to interpret the scriptures concerning Jesus and the resurrection. He made the profound simple. He expounded on what the gospel had said. And Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would be born of a virgin over 700 years before the birth of Christ. Now his own disciples are struggling to understand and believe all that Jesus said he would do. He rose from the grave. He fulfilled Bible prophecy. But church, the story doesn't end there. We see the tomb is empty and their minds were opened and they believed. You see, what happens is it's not enough just to have a head knowledge of God and the fact that he loves us. But folks, we have to understand that what Jesus did over 2,000 years ago on the cross was for me. What he did on the cross and dying and rising from the grave was for me. It's a personal Savior. Their minds were open and they believed. Verse 36 says, they were talking about these things. Jesus himself was stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and they thought they saw a spirit. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why are doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and feet, that it's I, myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still disbelieved for joy, were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" I love this. It sees the realness of it. They gave him a piece of broiled fish. He take it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." And he says, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. Folks, it wasn't enough just for them to see the empty tomb. They encountered the risen Savior. They encountered Jesus. Jesus appeared to the disciples in verse 36. They witnessed the risen Savior. He said, "Peace to you." In a brief moment of unbelief or disbelief, one of the disciples, in another gospel passage, says, "Can I touch the nail prints?" Thomas is forever known as the one that doubted. And how many of us have had moments or periods in our own journey of faith where we're doubting, we're struggling with believing or understanding or comprehending all that God is trying to teach us? He says, "Here, see the nail prints. See the place where my side was pierced. See the nail prints in my feet. It is I, the risen Savior." Periods of doubt are common in the spiritual journey. Some of us go through those periods of doubt and unbelief. But the same disciples who weren't able to see that Jesus was walking with them at that very moment, talking to them about the crucifixion, their eyes were opened to the truth of the gospel. Jesus did rise from the grave. And folks, he does offer peace to you. Peace in a troubled world. Church, you only have to look around for just a brief moment to see that the world is in complete turmoil today. There's chaos all around us. It's not just in Washington or Raleigh. It's in all parts and corners of the world. But the reality is, without a relationship with God, we cannot have peace. Jesus offers peace. Don't you see it? It's not enough to just know about God, believe that God exists. He created the heavens and the earth. Church, he died so that we might have a personal relationship with God the Father. Jesus is the risen Savior. And folks, if you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus, church, it's not enough just to have a knowledge that Christ came. But we must understand and believe that he died on the cross for my sin. He desires to radically transform and save us and give us eternal life. Jesus told his disciples, he says, "Look at my hands, look at my feet, touch the places where the nails were." He's a personal Savior. He ate with them, and ultimately in verse 45, the word says he opened their mind to the scriptures. Their hearts and minds were opened, and they received the good news of the gospel message. Say, "Pastor, what's the application?" I wonder today, do you know Jesus personally? Do you know Jesus personally? Has there been a day or a time in your life that you personally place your faith and trust in Jesus and say, "I believe that Jesus died on the cross. I believe that he was buried. I believe that he rose again for my sin." What he accomplished on the cross and rising from the grave. I'm not talking about a head knowledge that there is a God. Many people, even the devil, believes in that. I'm asking you, have you ever personally repented of your sin and received the free gift of salvation? Church, if not, what he did on the cross and rising from the grave is all in vain if you don't receive him. The Word of God tells us today is the day of salvation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, "I deliver to you first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins. He was buried, he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures." Church, that is the gospel. Jesus died, but church, he didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. That is the gospel. Church, if you've never accepted him, that's why he came. He ultimately came so that he could take your place in my place on the cross, in the grave, but ultimately he rose again so that you and I might be saved. The Bible says that we're all sinners. In fact, it says it so clearly in Romans 3:10, as it is written, "None is righteous, no, not one." You know what that says? The person who helps the elderly, who helps the poor, who helps the widow, the orphan, as good as they are, and the works that they're doing are as good. The Word of God says, none is righteous. No, not one. You can give all of your money, your resources, volunteer the time. But if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Word of God says that we will spend all of eternity in a place called hell. I heard this week of a church that had made a conscious decision this Easter not to mention death, not to mention hell. If there was no death, if there was no hell, why would it, Jesus wouldn't need to come? If there was no sin, the church, the reality is there is. And we're going to spend eternity in one of two places, either in heaven with God because we've placed our faith in Him and chosen to receive Jesus Christ, or we're going to spend all of eternity in a place called hell. And church, that's why Jesus did come. That's why He died. And He says there's none righteous, no, not one. But He goes on in Romans 5:8, we see the grace of God being extended. He says, but God shows His love toward us in that while we were still sinners, remember, no, there's none righteous, no, not one. Christ did what, church? He died for us. See, the greatest story that we could ever understand and comprehend and believe this morning is that the gospel is so simple. Jesus died, He was buried, and He rose again from the grave. And folks, He did that for us. Christ died for us. That's God's grace. That's His unmerited favor. That's something we don't deserve. He didn't want man to have to spend eternity in hell. He loves us so much, He sent His only Son, Jesus, to die in our place. He took my place on the cross. These were my nails. That was my thorns. That was my cross. And Jesus willingly sacrificed His life so that you and I wouldn't have to die. We wouldn't have to spend eternity in a place called hell. He died so we didn't have to. The apostles trusted in a risen Savior. They saw Him first here. And I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. He says He was seen by the disciples. At one point He was seen by over 500 people at one time. And Paul said, I'm writing as a first-hand account. I saw Him with my own eyes. The least of these. I'm the least to be called an apostle because I persecuted the very church of God. He says, but still God chose to forgive me and to save me from my sin. I love how big the gospel is because Romans 10:13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be what, church?
Saved.
Will be saved. You know what that means? It doesn't matter if you're wearing Carolina blue this morning. It doesn't matter if you're wearing state red or that other color blue. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you've done. Pastor David, you have no clue all the things that I've said, the things that I've done. Pastor David, you have no idea the thoughts that I've had in my life and all of my past. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. Do you realize Jesus knows every single thought and intent of our heart? He knew us before the foundation of the earth. Let me give you the 411, and He still came to die on the cross. He still loves you. He still had you on His heart and His mind when He died on the cross. And the Word of God says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Consider for just a moment, we don't have two other crosses up here, but the story tells us in the Gospels that there was a cross on either side of this one. There were two thieves, two criminals that were being crucified on either side, and one of them says, if you're truly the Son of God, why don't you get yourself down from here and save it? Rescue us too. He mocked the Messiah, he mocked God's Son, and yet the thief on the other side says, it's obvious he is the Son of God. What's he saying? He says, remember me. He said, he doesn't deserve this, but we do. He acknowledged his sin before a holy God and acknowledged that Jesus was the Son of God. And he received Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. He never joined a church, never took communion, never got baptized, never tithed to the church. But Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise, in heaven. Folks, if you accept what Jesus did on the cross as payment for your sin, this morning, Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what you've done, he conquered the grave. I wonder this morning, do you believe in him? Have you ever placed your faith and trust in Jesus for salvation? If not, can I just encourage you and challenge you this morning? The Word of God says today is the day of salvation. Today is your day. It's not an accident that you're here. Say, well, Pastor David, if I had my way, I wouldn't be here. Well, God had his way and you are here. It was ordained that you would be here. Can I invite you right now just to bow your head and close your eyes? No one else is looking around.